Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Well, I appreciate you doing it, man. How'd you get the call? When did you get the call? Did you expect it at all? You're getting your number retired.
You know, it's funny thing about it, because most of the time, they call you. They call you, tell you, hey, this is what happened in this summer. Because I talked to Harold Baines, a couple guys, PK. Then, no, I was doing my job. I was working in all the sun, opening day. I was working, and, you know, my family was there just because it was opening day, special day for the kids, and all this time. And they told us, they say, hey, in the third inning, you guys got to be back in the set. And I'm like, oh, come on, man, you know me. What are we going to do now? Then in the third inning, we're back in the set. All the sub Porcelli walking. And then we got to work up Porcelli to the group because he was working with us in the past. Then, you know, all the sub Porcelli say, you know, what they have to say. And that's why in the background you say another bobblehead, because I thought we were going to announce another bobblehead. Like, oh, no, another one. Because people do, you know, be honest with you, when people think when they do a bobblehead, that just, it's a privilege, you know, obviously, especially when you're not in the game anymore. But in the meanwhile, you say, I got to sign 10,000 with those 10.
Right. Yeah, but, that bobblehead, everybody's going to come up to you in the city.
Yeah, Elvis, on, you know, what they announced it, I never thought. I think the way they did it, it was like, oh, wow. To me, it was more special because the way they did it, opening day, I had my headset on for the set. I can hear people cheering my name. And thank God, my wife never liked to go to the game. She's maybe been three games since I'm not managing. Three or four games. Other some we bring my wife, say, hey, the grandkids gotta go to the game. Can you all help us be the babysitting, I guess? Then I was very glad when she was there, because I couldn't see go through that a great day and she wasn't there. And I think I was lucky, because that. But then the White Sox did a tremendous job to keep him so quiet. I talked to people in the front office. They're like, nobody even know them. Like, only two people know in the White Sox was Jerry. I think it was Bruce Boyer, and the marketing chief of the marketing. And when they did, it was amazing. I never thought, you know, I feel like yes, they will do it, but no, they're not going to do it. And my question was, I don't think I got a good enough number. Obviously, win the championship, obviously, it was a big kick. But I know, didn't mean every time they retire somebody's number, because the Hall of Famer hit 500 home runs, you know, I mean, right. Spent 30 years with the same ball club. I never thought I had the feeling, yes, I can, but all of a sudden, somebody, you know, behind my brain say, you don't have enough number to be there. But, you know, I mean, I'm glad that it's something they appreciate, you know, the city, the White Sox organization, appreciate what I did for them on the field, off the field, most and everything. Bring, you know, be a manager of the championships for 100 years. I think that helped that. But I think I'm glad because I'm still alive. I'm glad because Jerry's still alive. And I'm glad most of the guys out there, my teammates, my coaches, my players, they was there. And it was a very special moment for us.
Who came and joined you at the ceremony? I know I saw Baines. I think Przinski came. Who else came?
Oh, yeah, Przinski, Mark Burley, Roberto Hernandez, Carco Vice. You know, the guy played for me. I have the most time. You know, me, obviously, some people, JD, Jermaine Dye, was out in Italy. He couldn't make it because he was down there, but he sent me a nice message. I think most of the guys did, you know, I mean, for lead. All those American guys just show up. But it was a good thing, because I think people, I never thought would see it again, like Carco. Robbie couldn't make it because Robbie was doing something in California, I think, with his daughter. You know, I don't know what he was doing, but it was for Poch. It's not a, you know, I mean, it was having surgery, Poch Fisk. And so Eugene Leland was invited, but also no one couldn't come because of health issues. But everything, you know, I mean, the people was there, it was nice. And it was a pretty good, excited ceremony because, you know, the best thing about it was packed, sold out. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just because that or because the team played very well. But put it together, it was sold out, and I was very, very pleased the way they handled this stuff.
I'll tell you, it's pretty awesome. And I think, you know, you talk about whether you didn't know whether it was going to happen one day, it wasn't. Getting your number retired is a big deal. I mean, nobody's ever going to wear number 13 again for the Chicago White Sox. I think it's a tribute to not only what you did there, you as a player, 85 to 97. As a manager, I think 04 to 11, you won the World Series there, which is huge. But I think it's a tribute of what that organization, Jerry Reinsdorf being the top of the chain, that what they think of Ozzie Guillen. And I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, besides that, a lot of people, I got a true stage. In this organization, a lot of people don't remember I played shortstop here for a long time. A lot
I
of
remember.
People, I know you. I know you wasn't, but you know you wasn't Chloe, my boy in Anaheim. Yeah. I know how long that was. But the thing was, like, you know, in Chicago, they some people remember me as a player, some people remember me as a manager. Now people see me every day on TV. I think that helped too. I live here in Chicago, but it's honor, man. Believe me, I look up there and see Harold Baines, Meany, PK, Luis Aparicio, you know me, just so many superstars there. Tour number, I'm the first manager. They got tour number retired for 100 and something years. This organization had, they only retired 12 number before they retired mine. It's something you have to feel special and very, very humble to be up in that world for the rest of my life. And but one thing about it, they asked me about it a couple of times. I said, you know, the biggest thing for me or the most pleasure I can have with my number retired because my grandkids, you know, my grandkids gonna go to that ballpark later on, watching baseball game. They see grandpa name up there. I think I hope they feel proud. So sort of my kids, but my kids will grow up. But I think everything's with my grandkids was the best thing because I know grandpa numbers gonna be there for forever.
Yeah, it's a cool thing, and congratulations once again. Ozzie Guillen, the manager. How about this? I got a quick question that I want to get into some other stuff. Would you rather play for Ozzie Guillen, or would you rather? What am I looking for here? Would you rather play for Ozzie Guillen or would you rather manage Ozzie Guillen? Does that make sense?
I'd rather manage Ozzie Guillen.
Yeah?
I was easy going. You know, I play every day. I don't get any problem. Yeah. I'm managing, know I'm going to do everything to win that game. Defensively, our bats, you know, I know how to hit a home run to win games and move the guy over in secret play stance, going for first time. Managing Ozzie, it was easy. Because you know how about, like, can you play today? How you feel? How your legs? You need a day off? No, I just didn't line up every day. And I think it's way easy play, you know, managing me because I don't get anybody any problem. But managing, oh boy, I was a little hard cookie. I know that. Yeah. AJ said something very funny. AJ Persicki said, you know me, how you like, the first question they ask those kids, how you like play for who is the hottest pitcher you ever faced, or how was playing for Ozzie? AJ, you know, I make a comment one year, say managing AJ or you play with AJ Persinski, if you play against him, you hate him. If you play with him,
right.
You hate a little less.
They know it's so AJ. You AJ, still hate him. You still hate him, just a little less.
AJ's come back, you know, being AJ, come back to me, go, you know, like when they ask me, like, play against Ozzie, you hate him. Play for him, you hate him more. But, you know, I mean, no, the to me, it's just like, you know, I grew up in old school mentality. Something it's still in my chip there. I cannot get that out of my out of my mind. I think it was 1980s, 90s, 2000s. But, you know what I mean, I just wanted to get the best out of my players. I learned from the best, you know what I mean. It took me a little while to see a good team together. When I went to Atlanta, I see you guys playing. I was, you know, I was a backup. See you guys play. When you guys go about the business, you not need a manager. But then, you know, Bobby, because he's just sitting there, I know you guys do everything. And I start learning how to win games. You know, I was like, wow, pitching-wise, good defense, you know what I mean. Clutch hitting, you know, the Atlanta Braves did so many great things. That's why they win 100 games every year when I was, you know, was part of the ball club. But I think that showed me and teach me really how to handle baseball game and the right time, the right situation.
Yeah, and a lot of guys that played, you know, I kind of overlapped with your career. The end of your career was kind of the middle of my career, but we played, it was different then. And I, you know, I see the game today. I was on the field last year, back on the field, and it's a different game. It's still baseball. We have our thoughts, you know. For me, it's like, okay, the game was the way it was when I was playing. And we probably are all a little bit biased to our own, to the generation we played in. But now you've gone through three stages. You've gone through, you know, playing the game in the 80s and 90s. You've gone through managing the game. Now, like you said, you're on TV every day. You got a report. And the game you watch today, Ozzy, isn't the game that when me and you were teammates in 99 in Atlanta, that's not the way we went about our business. But I think you kind of got to roll with the punches as time goes on, or this game will just roll you over. You know, I see players from my generation or before, and the first thing they say, oh, these guys today. And it's like, well, we're not going to get anywhere with that. It's like our time's over as players. It's their time. You know, we would do things different, obviously, but I think the best thing we can do is kind of talk to the modern day player. And I did it a year ago. I'd be like, all right, my time's over. I'm here to help these guys. The only way I do that is I got to know where they're coming from. Tell me what you think. Tell me how you want to go about this. I'll give you my experience that I went through, my failures, my successes, and we can come to something in the middle. I think that's the best way instead of just, I hear too much of, oh, everything these guys do is wrong. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. It's like, this is the game. This is the game. And 20 years from now, their kids are going to be looking at them going, oh, dad, you're old school. This is the way we play now. No, the game's constantly evolving.
Well, the funny thing about it, because everything life move on. I see sometimes, you know, when they're playing, I say, it's no matter if it's old school or new school, they do stuff. You should be doing it. You know what I mean? Like go with men on second base, get on the line, and just like they try to go deep. You know what I mean? That's the thing that bothered me a lot. I said, yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Because that's the way they play. You know, I got to hit home run, strike out. Who cares about the rest? I understand that. But in the meanwhile, all the song, when you see the playoff games coming and start, right now, when see so everybody freelancing. All the song, when they come in the playoff, a crucial situation, they want to do something they never did during the season. Try to move the guy over, try to steal the big base. You know what I mean? Yeah. All of a sudden, they're like, uh-oh, what are we doing here? We don't know. Then they say, okay, we got to bump the ball because we're in the playoff. They don't know how. You give up an out. You know what I mean? Just so many little things. You should be not in an old school situation because it can be, but you see guys like, you know what I mean, the superstar. And you see the numbers, like how this guy is all the time, how this guy is in the franchise phase. You know what I mean? And I've seen it all. I see that, you know what I mean? I work for the White Sox. Whoever played with the White Sox, I see every ball club. I go through it, what they do, what they don't do, how many strikeouts. You know, now you see kids almost have a chance to strike out 250, 270 times. They hit 25 home runs. They got 80 RBIs, hitting 220. Superstar. I get it now. Then, yes. But, you know what I mean? I look at it. They asked me in the All-Star break this year. When they asked me about, you know, you went to a few All-Star games, what was the best thing stuck in your mind? I said, the picture we take, I look around me and behind me, it's all Hall of Famers. 90% of that picture is Hall of Famers, maybe more. Okay, nowadays, you got to see guys that make it the All-Star team like with 5 home runs, 20 RBIs, hitting 280. You know, it's like, wow, the picture is not the same. In that picture, you might see two guys at that picture. they should be a Hall of Fame. Two or three guys. That's it. That's the difference in baseball there now than before. You know what I mean? The strategy of the manager is different. The strategy of the coaches are different. You know what I mean? That's like you say. I talked to Bruce Bochy about it. And one of the reasons Bruce left, the guy said, I'm done with this. I can't handle it anymore. That's because I think it's because that. You look at good managers, I believe good managers, they know where to go back in the game because all the stuff. They have, you know what I mean? I think the managers now, they have to be, I think the players have more power than the manager. Back in the days, you see the manager, you turn around, you're like, oh, yes, sir. If the manager call you, you're like, uh-oh, what's happening? Nowadays, I call the manager. Hey, come here, I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's how baseball is now.
Yeah, but I think still to have that cohesive unit, to be a champion, to be a great team, I think there still has to be that level of respect for the manager. Like, that's the skipper. No matter what, I could love him, hate him, agree with him, completely disagree with him, but he's my skipper. I always and I think the players I was around, we always had that respect for the position, and you play guys that you love to play for, and you play for guys you don't. But that can't change, because that's got to be the hierarchy. One day, if he doesn't do his job, he'll get fired. But when he's in that seat, you can have your differences. He's your boss, and you need to respect that.
You know what? You know, you grow up in the club. You grow up watching good managers, but I don't think it's a bad manager. I think you know how the players. You would have made more mistakes when you were a good one. But you know, you grow with Lou Piniella.
I was just with him last weekend.
And then you go to Bobby Cox. You know, who are you going to expect? Now you go from that guy to a high school guy. You know what I mean? Like, uh-oh, wait a minute. You know, it's like, okay, that guy got to show me how to hit, how to play, how to do that when you never been there or feel there. You know, that's my point. I don't care who's managing. My manager is a guy, or coaches, to me, is more important. Coaches is the guy say, I was there. I can tell you how that feels. I don't want to see a guy, you know, obviously that's 90% of the guy right now. I don't see a kid play high school to tell me how to run the bases, because manager to me, or coaches, when you need help, that's what you need. When you don't need help, who cares? Just go play. But when you need help, now you're going to help me. How? You never was in that situation. Be 0-20 in big league, or you struggle, or you sore, or you tired. They don't have the experience to communicate you how to get out of there. That's my point. I don't criticize the guys never played the game, or you know what I mean, or never put the uniform. That's okay. How you told the guy how to get off that problem when you never was in that situation.